This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Bambi. HR salaries average $70,000 a year. Only Bambi gives you a dedicated HR manager for just $99 a month. Get your free HR compliance audit at bambi.com/accidentalcreative. That's bambee.com/accidentalcreative. This episode is also sponsored by Skillshare, an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/ac and get a free trial of premium membership. Hey everyone, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I am your host. I'm also the author of a bunch of books, including the brand new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold. So when you hear the word management, what is the first thing that comes to mind? I think for many people, management has a negative connotation. People don't like the idea of management because they think of bureaucracy and red tape and, you know, maybe difficult personalities and conflict and people who are just digging their way in order to prevent progress from happening. I think that unfortunately is often the connotation that comes when we talk about middle management especially. But management is essential to brilliant creative work, and it's essential to high-functioning organizations. If you want to get something done, you're going to have to work with a manager. And if you're a manager, you're going to have to learn how to work both with your own manager as well as with the people on your team in order to collaborate and get things done to facilitate progress within your organization to help you achieve your goal, to achieve your vision. Well, on today's show, we have someone who is going to help us navigate that murky, difficult path toward effective management. His name is Scott Miller. He's the author of a book called Everyone Deserves a Great Manager. And actually, I believe that. I think everyone does deserve a great manager. And we're going to talk today about the core principles of effective management, including things like how do you conduct an effective one-on-one with your team? How do you develop a culture of effective feedback within your organization? These are things people struggle with. We all struggle with them. And so we're going to talk about some very specific recommendations for managers today to help all of us be better at what we do. And by the way, if you're not a manager and you're thinking, okay, I'm just going to check out of this one, don't check out, because even if you're not a manager, you have to work with a manager, or maybe you aspire to be a manager, and this is going to be really helpful for you. What we're going to talk about today. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Bambi. So when running a business, HR issues can kill you. Wrongful termination suits, minimum wage requirements, labor regulations, and HR manager salaries aren't cheap. They're an average of $70,000 a year. Bambi, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. You get a dedicated HR manager, craft HR policy, and maintain your compliance all for just $99 a month. With Bambi, you can change HR from your biggest liability to your biggest strength. Your dedicated HR manager is available by phone, email, or real-time chat. From onboarding to terminations, they customize your policies to fit your business and help you manage your employees day-to-day, all for just $99 a month. Month to month, no hidden fees, you can cancel anytime. Listen, you didn't start your business because you wanted to spend time on HR compliance. Let Bambi help. Get your free HR audit today. Go to bambi.com/accidentalcreative right now to schedule your free HR audit. That's bambi.com/accidentalcreative, spelled B-A-M to the B-E-E.com/accidentalcreative. We thank Bambi for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, I'm excited to welcome to the show today Scott Miller. Scott is the author of several books, but he's the author of Everyone Deserves a Great Manager, the 6 Critical Practices for Leading a Team. Scott, welcome to the Axon Creative Podcast.
Todd, thank you for the platform.
So I'm very excited to have you on today. I'm really excited to dive into the concepts in this book. Before we do, could you share with us a little bit about your career path? How did you end up, how does someone end up writing books? How did that happen for you?
Well, that part perhaps was a bit accidental. My career has been rather deliberate. So I'm originally from Orlando, Florida. I spent 4 years with the Disney Development Company. And then, like all single Catholic guys, I moved to Provo, Utah. That's a joke, because the only Catholic in Utah was the priest and me 25 years ago. I joined the Franklin Covey Company, of course, you know, founded by Dr. Stephen R. Covey, the author of the book, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. So, you know, 25 years at Franklin Covey, we have sold 50 million copies across all of our titles. I eventually worked my way up from frontline sales contributor to sales leader, sales vice president. I became the chief marketing officer, the executive vice president of thought leadership, where I have led our global book thought leadership division. So, you know, I was privileged to host our podcast, which is now the world's largest leadership podcast called On Leadership with Scott Miller. And I was interviewing one of the authors one day and just, I decided, you know what? I've got a book in me. It took me 50 years. And so I wrote my first book called Management Mess to Leadership Success. It went well. And then I co-authored another book called Everyone Deserves a Great Manager with two Franklin Covey colleagues. And now I've, can you believe it or not, I have 3 books coming out in 2021.
Wow.
So I just, after reading thousands of books and interviewing book authors, I thought, I can do that just like they can. So I've never had a shortage of confidence. I might have had a shortage of competence, but I put my confidence to work and it's so far paying off for me.
That's fantastic. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting because there are so many leaders that I speak with and I just sort of almost want to will them to write a book because of their collected wisdom. And I think so many people, for whatever reason, they just never take that step. And I think, you know, as you mentioned, I mean, you have a wealth of experience. I think it just takes that little bit of, you know, that little bit of, I think I could do this, you know, in order to get that out into the world where it can be of use to other people.
I think that's right. I think also people, like all things, they probably make it too daunting, right? Break it down into small tasks. I mean, when I write books, I put all my chapters on post-it notes on the wall. I reach out to a lot of people that can give me feedback. You know, people can't help you if they don't know you need help.
Right.
So I have no problem asking anybody for help. And I'm a pretty courageous person. I don't embarrass easily. To me, no is just yes, but from a different person.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. So your book, Everyone Deserves a Great Manager, centers around the 6 critical practices for leading a team. So I'd love to just do a very quick overview of those 6 practices and see what advice you would have for those who are listening. I know a lot of our audience are people who manage creative teams. So they're managing teams of people who have to go to work, solve problems, figure things out every day, which is most of us in this modern economy. But the first of the 6 critical practices is that we have to develop a leader's mindset. And you talk in that chapter about the see, do, get cycle. Could you share a little bit about what this principle means, developing a leader's mindset?
Sure. When you become a leader of people, which by the way, Todd, not everyone should. Now, that's a fundamental premise that not everyone, in my opinion, should be a leader of people. Just like not everyone should be an anesthesiologist or a commercial airline pilot. But if you do become a leader of people because you have intentionally chosen that path and you know what you're in for, I think first it starts with your mindset. You mentioned see, do, get. That's a fundamental model in the 7 Habits book written by Dr. Covey. And that is, you know, how we see the world drives what we do drives our results, right? See, do, get. See is another word for mindset, do is a word for behaviors, get is a word for results. So when you develop a leader's mindset, that means that you recognize as a leader, your top responsibility is to achieve results with and through other people. And that's not for everyone. Think about that.
Right.
If your job is to achieve results with and through other people, everything changes. You begin to value relationships more than anything. You begin to celebrate diversity of thought, experience, education, backgrounds, contribution. You become more patient. You coach, mentor. Everything changes. You are no longer the genius, but rather, to quote Liz Wiseman in her book, Multipliers, you become the genius maker of others. Your job is not to be the smartest person in the room. Your job is to develop a leader's mindset and achieve results with and through other people. And when that becomes your operating mindset, everything changes.
It does. And, you know, this is one of the things I often talk with leaders and teams about as well, is the fact that so much of our career is a setup. you know, when we for somebody to pull the rug out from under us, because you're rewarded early in your career for getting it right. You're rewarded for being the excellent tactician, you know, doing the work. And then when you become suddenly somebody says, hey, you're really good at doing that. You know what you should do? You should lead other people who are doing that. Well, that's not necessarily the right thing for everyone, as you mentioned, you know? And so it's almost like we're being set up to fail if we go into that leadership role thinking that it's still about control rather than about influence.
Well, it's why it's so important to take responsibility for your own career, right? Ask lots of questions, build a deliberate career path for yourself. I host the Ignite Your Genius career coaching series on my website. And one of those premises is that too many careers are left to accident and that we all need to become more deliberate and recognize you may work for a culture that doesn't value you achieving results with others. They may only reward and retain and promote people who are the geniuses. If that's the case, be aware of that and decide, is that right for you or not? Right? I mean, don't be naive. Don't give up your career strategy over to someone else.
Right, absolutely. All right, so the second critical practice that you talk about is holding regular one-on-ones. And I'd be curious to hear your perspective on what makes a one-on-one valuable. How do we do that effectively?
Yeah, so first it starts with the premise that people are not an organization's most valuable asset. Debunk that HR myth. People are not your company's most valuable assets. It's not true. What is true is it's the relationships between those people that is your most valuable asset. That is your job as a leader, is to model and foster and create great relationships. And how you do that, one of the ways you do that is in holding effective one-on-one meetings. In the book, Todd, as you know, we teach the concept that these one-on-one meetings are not your staff meeting. It's not an accountability meeting. It's not a status meeting. This is their meeting. As a leader, this is their meeting, mm-hmm. not your meeting. They schedule it, they call it, they lead it. They create the agenda. They do 80% of the talking, you do 20% of the talking. This is a chance for you to understand, how's it going? Are they enjoying their job? What do they need from you? It's a chance for you to get your pulse on their level of engagement. These one-on-one meetings are metaphorically and literally not your meeting. You need to monitor your rate of asking questions and hijacking it. As leaders, I think we're all conditioned to ask smart questions and get to the root cause and peel the onion. This is not the setting for that. You know, another HR myth is that leaders create engagement. Todd, leaders do not create engagement. Leaders create the conditions for others to choose their own level of engagement, high and low. And the outcome of these one-on-one meetings is for you to get the pulse for how's it going? Have they, you know, turned that LinkedIn button that says open to opportunities on, or are they engaged in the office? And what can you do to build a culture for them to become more engaged? It's their meeting, not yours.
Yeah. You know, when I was leading a team, I thought I was giving my team members a gift when I would cancel our one-on-ones, because I thought I was giving them time back to do their work. And it was only when my manager came to me and said, you know, if you have a meeting scheduled with Todd, there's about a 50% chance it's going to happen, right? This was very early on in my career. And I realized in that moment that I was thinking I was giving them a gift, but they were taking that as a slight. It was a breach of trust, because they looked forward to that meeting. That was their opportunity to have FaceTime with me, to ask me questions, you know, to just build relationship with me. And I was thinking of it as my meeting I was giving back that to them, you know, time to them, whereas they were thinking of it as their meeting. So I love that fundamental mindset shift to it being their meeting, not your meeting.
Well, Todd, you brought up a great point, right? Is the worst one-on-one meeting is not the one where you talk too much. Mm. It's the one you cancel.
Yeah.
Because now you have sent that expectation that something else is always more important. So that's why we teach in the book, be very judicious around these one-on-ones should be 30 minutes. They're very quick. Perhaps they're standing up, and that you try to protect them at all costs. Do not overschedule them. If you've got 9 direct reports, you can't possibly do 9 one-on-ones in 1 week. You're going to burn out. You're going to inevitably have crises or urgencies from your leader that will take precedence. So set expectations that occasionally you might need to cancel. And if you do, don't take it personally, but set them up in a cadence to where you're not tempted to do so.
Yeah, I love that. That's great. All right, the next principle is you need to set your team up to get results. How do we know, Scott, which are the right results that we should be pursuing?
Well, that's a heavy question. I think by not guessing. I mean, no, it's a superb question, because if you don't know, it means you're not in connection with your leader, right? That everyone's not connected with each other in terms of what are the wildly important goals, what are the absolute top priorities. So I think it's enormously important that as a leader that you have clarified what results you expect out of your team members, that you're clear what your leader expects out of you. And if she or he hasn't told you, that you develop the courage to ask, to clarify, that you make sure consistently that the people reporting to you are uber clear on what are the results that are required from them. What does quality look like, feel like, sound like? What does the end result need to achieve? And you probably cannot over communicate that. Mm-hmm. That transparency, vulnerability, clarity, room for maturity on it on all levels is absolutely necessary day in, day out. Because absent facts, people make stuff up, right? What is your world-class customer service standard? It's not somebody else's world-class customer service. I have a colleague who this weekend took his wife to like the Fairfield Inn, and they were elated about it. My wife would not go to the Fairfield Inn at age 50. She wants to go to the Ritz-Carlton. This is a younger. Everyone's got a different expectation of what definitions mean, outcomes mean, right? So make sure that you know that you're always speaking the same language, and you probably cannot over-communicate what great results look like too much.
Yeah, and I think to that effect too, like, do not make assumptions that your team knows, right? That they know what those expectations are, because the conflict is often the result, well, almost always the result of missed expectations, even if those are unspoken expectations.
In fact, in the first book I wrote, Management Mesh, Leadership Success, one of the 30 challenges is declare your intent, and that the root of all conflict comes from mismatched or unfulfilled expectations. Mm. I mean, think about that. When there is conflict on any team, it is typically because you thought they were going to do X and they thought they were going to do Y and they thought you were going to do Z. And as a leader, it is your job to move outside your comfort zone, discuss the undiscussables, declare your intent, make sure everybody is perhaps even uncomfortably clear on what success looks like, what they can expect from you and what they shouldn't expect from you.
Yeah. Hey, we're going to get back to the conversation with Scott in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is also brought to you by Skillshare. So no matter what 2021 brings, you can spend it creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes, because time is what we make of it. With Skillshare, you can find inspiration in the moment and learn how to express yourself creatively. Hey, this is the year to make things happen. This is the year to develop yourself. This is the year to go to the next level in terms of your skills and your creativity. And Skillshare is the best tool that I know of to help you do that. I've been using Skillshare personally to learn how to market on the web. That's something that I've never really been very good at, right? But creating social media posts. There are courses that are helping me understand how to better use Instagram, how to better use Twitter, how to write better social content, how to write better, period. There are courses to help me understand. Listen, as somebody who's written 5 books, I've learned a lot from courses on Skillshare about how to craft compelling narrative. And you can too. Whatever you want to learn, you can learn it with Skillshare. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning, with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Bring color, beauty, and fun to your year. Add vivid details and craft complex wonders. And by the way, Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. That is an incredible value. Explore your creativity at Skillshare.com/AC and get a free trial of premium membership. That's Skillshare.com/AC, and you'll get a free trial of premium membership. Friends, there's no reason at all not to try this. So try it at Skillshare.com/AC and get a free trial of premium membership. And we thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. All right, I want to skip a couple of principles, not because they're not important, but because I want to make sure that we have enough time to address the remainder of what I'd love to discuss here. One of the principles is that you have to learn to lead your team through change. And in the midst of that, you talk about the different zones that we experience, the zone of the status quo, the zone of disruption, the zone of adoption, the zone of better performance. I think we're all trying to figure out how to lead through this time. We're all experiencing disruption right now. You know, I don't think any of us expected global pandemic, and we don't know what's on the other side of this. So what's some advice that you have for people about how to lead our teams through times of change?
I think the first fundamental concept is to understand, Todd, that change is an emotional process for everyone, that everyone accelerates to change at different rates and speeds, that people have, you know, childhood traumas or previous work experiences, or situations with leaders that where change may have not been even remotely like you've experienced it. Change is highly emotional for everyone. And as a leader, you may have to be a little more patient with one person than you naturally are comfortable being. You may need to over-clarify what the end result looks like. Change is like a train. Some people board in the first two cabins, some in the third cabins, and some are holding on to the caboose for dear life. And that you might need to recognize that, you know, the train is leaving the station. It's okay to say that. But that people have to understand they're going to be safe. There may be some bumps along the road. Depending upon the type of change, a lot of leaders try to protect their team from change, right? This too shall pass, or this is the initiative du jour, or this will never make it out of the Albuquerque office into the Tulsa office, so I'll just wait it out. And that can be a well-intended strategy. The problem is the leader that's constantly protecting her team from change doesn't and hasn't built the emotional and intellectual nimbleness and agility to prepare for change when it does make it to the Tulsa office and it's not going away. Oh, maybe like a global pandemic. Yeah. So change is, again, highly emotional, and leaders should recognize that they should not expect everyone to accelerate it at the same level they do, because everybody gets information at different rates and speeds and has, you know, things going on in their life that you may not even have any concept for in terms of how it impacts how they deal with change.
Yeah. Yeah. So as you look forward, Scott, to what's coming up over you know, the course of this year and beyond, what do you think are some of the qualities of leadership that we should be looking to develop right now to meet these times for our team?
Well, this word will sound like a cliche, but I mean, it's just empathy, right? I mean, what has happened with the world, the economy, people's health, the loss of friends and family, death, tragedy, bankruptcies, it's incomprehensible.
Yeah.
And leaders need to summon an perhaps heretofore unrelatable level of empathy. What is your team member faced with? What kind of insecurity are they challenged with? What's happening in their world? Can they safely bring their whole self to the workplace? Can you have a transparent and vulnerable conversation with them about your own fears? Make it safe for them to discuss what are their passions, what are their fears, what are their dreams that perhaps have been snuffed out. How can you help reignite their dreams? Can you find a place for them to deploy them in the company? As the leader, you probably have some level of financial or career stability that perhaps your team doesn't. You probably have access to information that they may not. People don't quit leaders who love them. People don't quit leaders who love them. People do quit bad leaders and corrupt cultures. But if your leader really feels like you are invested in them, you care about them more than just what they can do for your organization, you generally care about them, you typically pull out of people an unprecedented level of contribution. That doesn't mean you lower your standard. It doesn't mean that they can phone it in. It doesn't mean that you become your friend. It means that they become a trusted colleague where they know you've got their back and they're willing to give you theirs in the process, and their heart and their mind.
I love that. That is so good. So I want to ask one final question. This is one I did not prepare you for, so I'm sorry about that.
Bring it on, Todd.
Great. What is a good decision that you made in your life, and why was it a good decision in retrospect?
No question, marrying my wife. I was single till I was 41. I was a confirmed bachelor, never thought I would get married. And when I married Stephanie, who, by the way, is 12 years my younger, she brought a level of what it's really like to go on vacation with Scott Miller, what it's like to be in a car with Scott Miller, what it's like to be on a conference call with Scott or at dinner with Scott. You get the point, right? Is that she brought to my life a level of self-awareness, feedback, a bit of a governor, if you will. You're going to wear what? You said what? you're going where? No, you're not. So for those people who have a significant other, a partner, a spouse, you know what I'm talking about. And I'll tell you, I think it's for those people who are single, or perhaps they are divorced or widowed, or they're not in a relationship. I think the older we get, the more entrenched we get in our habits. We think we're funnier than we are. We think we're more collaborative than we are. We think we're nicer than we are. And these personality traits become ingrained habits. We don't have anybody in our lives to give us feedback on our blind spots. Everyone needs a trusted best friend where they feel safe to give you feedback on your blind spots. And I see it. I see it in leaders who are in their 50s and 60s that have always been single, or they perhaps, you know, don't have strong friendships. They have no idea how their personality comes about. My best decision ever was to marry Stephanie because she helps me know what it's like to know Scott Miller.
I love that.
For good and for bad.
But yes. Yeah. Well, and that's the thing, right? Like we really
mostly only, for bad.
We only really fully see ourselves when we see ourselves through the eyes of other people. And to your point, that could be a spouse, that could be a very close friend who you give extreme visibility into your life and is willing to tell you things that you don't want to hear. And I think that's one of the important qualities, right? Which is why when you live with someone, they're going to tell you things you don't want to hear. Like they're just going to, right?
If they're not, it's because you've not created the environment where they feel safe to do so.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Well, Scott, if people want to come learn more about you and your work and your books, where can they find you?
Well, so you can visit my website, scottjeffreymiller.com. It's where people can learn more about my Ignite Your Genius coaching series. You can connect to me on LinkedIn. It's kind of hard not to find me if you Google Scott Jeffrey Miller these days. I am out there.
Fantastic. Well, Scott Miller, thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Todd, thank you, man. Great host. Appreciate the conversation.
And as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.